Hello again, this is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 106 in a series of 260 broadcasts dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It follows the same format as the enormously successful Frank Fitzsimmons series, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. A week ago today, I shared with you information about the ownership of WHKP. Today, I'm going to touch upon the early years of the Times News and how bitterness grew between the Fains and the Ogle families. In 1925, J.T. Fain Sr. had brought his family to Hendersonville and had purchased the Hendersonville Times. Now, believe it or not, Hendersonville had another daily newspaper back then, the Hendersonville News. In 1927, C.M. Mike Ogle came here from Indiana and propositioned Mr. Fain that he invest as a partner, that they buy out the News and simply shut it down, making one successful newspaper for Hendersonville. The partnership was created, I'm told, with each owning 40% and the remaining 10% owned between J.B. Creech, who was listed as mechanical superintendent, although I always thought him as head of the composing room, and W.L. Bill Burrell, who was listed as a pressman, but I always associated Mr. Burrell as being the one man who could make the presses run. This arrangement continued into the darkest days of the Depression, when the Times News had to borrow a small sum of money in the depths of a winter to carry the paper over to somewhat more prosperous days of spring and summer. I learned from Jimmy Fain in the early 60s that Mike Ogle had suggested getting the money from his nephew in Indiana, which they did. Jimmy said that his father did not read the fine print that said if the money was not paid in a specified time, the loan would be converted to common stock in the company. Well, the loan was not repaid on schedule, and suddenly the nephew of C.M. Ogle had enough stock to tilt the majority ownership to Mike. I was told that in later years, Ogle also bought the small amounts of stock owned by my friend J.B. Creech and also Bill Burrell. Mike now had solid control of the company, and the Fains held only a minority interest. I was further told that as the years went by, the bitterness grew between J.T. Fain Sr. and C.M. Ogle, to the extent that they rarely spoke. It was a matter that both parties succeeded in keeping from the public because I detected nothing amiss through the 40s and 50s, and I was in and out of the Times News on a regular basis. Jimmy's dad died, and still there was no public indication of any friction in the business, as Ogle continued as publisher and general manager, and Jimmy succeeded his father as editor of the paper. Jimmy had one brother, George, who had also worked for the paper, but George was 3 years younger than Jimmy, but died at an early age of 37. That was just a couple of weeks after I joined WHKP. In the meantime, Jimmy was experiencing serious health problems in the early 60s. He underwent numerous operations, and my only inkling to his problem was one day he said, quote, "Knowing what I know today, if I had my life to live over, any time I'd have the urge to go to the bathroom, I'd go, and not put it off, as I did in all my younger years." The ramification of that statement would require someone with greater medical knowledge than myself. Jimmy's wife, Tommy, one Thomasina Shepherd Fain, was having a tough time, not just in maintaining a home for her family, but in caring for Jimmy. And one of the chores she was carrying out for Jimmy in his sickness was to make the daily weather observations at 6 p.m. and dutifully record them for the National Climatic Center, as Jimmy had done for 30 years. At her request, I agreed for the radio station to take over that responsibility in 1964. I never knew Tommy's name was Thomasina. She was the third child of Thomas Shepherd. First, there was Nana Shepherd, who married a West, then Ridley Cecil Shepherd, who married a Kessler. And when Tommy was born, I guess Tom Shepherd decided he wasn't ever going to have a son, so he named her Thomasina. And she, of course, became Mrs. J.T. Fain, Jr. The very next year after Tommy was born came along the son, William M. Shepherd, who succeeded his father. And he was the father of the present-day Tom Shepherd. And after Bill, there was one more daughter, Martha, who died in 1981. In those early 60s, Jimmy was incapacitated for months at a time. and at the same time, Mike Ogle had developed a serious heart condition. One day, I received a call from Mr. Bruce Drysdale, who asked that I stop by his office, which at that time was located on the second floor of the Times News building on 6th Avenue. After exchange of pleasantries, Mr. Drysdale came right to the point. "Kermit, have you heard anything about the Times News being sold to a syndicate in Atlanta?" "No, sir," I responded. "But it wouldn't surprise me with Jimmy's sickness and Mr. Ogle's heart condition. Just a few weeks earlier, Mike had fallen as he came down the marble steps from the ballroom of the Scotland Hotel after a meeting of the Kiwanis Club, and I heard him say, gasping, 'Get me my nitroglycerin pills.' I then learned that these pills are taken by folks suffering a heart condition to increase circulation. Tomorrow I'll tell you the challenge given by Bruce Drysdale to this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and a job he's loved all of his life. Sort some corda as we approach the next 50 years.